Hello and welcome to the Toolkit Laboratory Biosafety and Biosecurity webinar. In this webinar, we will cover some of the useful tools that were developed by the Office of Research and Development. It will contain 7 tools in total, and we will go tool by tool and try to explain the purpose of the tool as well as its intended use, and a brief explanation of tool and how to use the specific tool. Next slide, please. All right. So if you look on the web page that is currently on the screen, you can see that there's 6 tools listed there. We are missing one that will shortly be listed there. The tools will cover guidance on compressed gas cylinders, guidance on safe use and disposal of anesthetic gases, guidance for use of biological safety cabinets, guidance on proper waste segregation and disposal, guidance on biosafety level signage, and guidance on laboratory biological risk assessment, including a template for this. So let's start with the first of these educational tool, which is the ORD guidance on compressed gas cylinders. So the purpose of this tool is to provide a training supplement and a printable sign that can be posted in spaces where gas cylinders are used and stored. This educational tool is intended as a training supplement for VHA staff on the proper use and storage of compressed gas cylinders. One component of this tool is printable sign containing some safety reminders that can be laminated and posted in spaces where compressed gas cylinders are used and stored. Since compressed gases represent both physical and potential chemical hazard, depending on a gas that is being stored, these gases within the cylinders vary in chemical properties, ranging from inert and harmless to toxic and explosive. Additionally, the high pressure of the gases is inside the cylinder poses some serious threat to life and property, resulting from physical damage and/or exposure to high temperatures. We need to follow some in developing these guidance documents. We have followed some of the applicable regulations and guidelines, such as Department of Transportation, Hazardous Material Regulations, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, Compressed Gas Association recommendation, and as well as National Fire Protection Association. All that can be found in the applicable regulation and or guideline section of this particular tool. Next slide, please. I'm going to switch now to a tool number 2, which is ORD guidance for safe use and disposal of anesthetic gases. The purpose of this educational tool is to provide a training supplement to promote the safe use and disposal of anesthetic gases. This educational tool is intended to serve as a training supplement for VHA staff responsible for working with and storing anesthetic gases and can be included in the research facility laboratory safety manual. Inhaled anesthetic gases include 2 different classes of chemicals, nitrous oxide and halogenated agents. One example would be isoflurane, which is a halogenated agent and it's commonly used in veterinary procedures. Evidence from laboratory animal studies show that exposure to isoflurane may cause harm to workers' nervous or reproductive system. Workers that might be exposed to these gases need to be aware of the hazards and possible solutions for their work environment. very similar to the tool number one. For the tool number two, we also followed some applicable regulations and guidelines, which can be found in the applicable regulations and guidelines section of the tool. Some of these includes Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, National Fire Protection Association, and similar. Bill, over to you. Any comments on this one? All right, switching over to the tool number three. The tool number three contains ORD guidance on biological safety cabinets. So the purpose of this educational tool is to provide basic information on biosafety cabinets with a focus on the class two type A2 biosafety cabinet, which is the most used model in biomedical research applications. This educational tool is intended to provide awareness to VHA staff, such as principal investigators, laboratory managers, biosafety officers, and similar, that are responsible for selecting the appropriate biosafety cabinets for use in their laboratory. This information might be used as a training supplement for VHA staff required to select for purchase or use biological safety cabinets and may be included in the research facility laboratory safety manual. Biosafety cabinets are primary engineering controls that provide containment of aerosols and particulates to protect personnel, the surrounding community, and the environment for possible exposure to hazardous biological agents and toxins that are used in biomedical research laboratories. There are three classes of biosafety cabinets: class one, class two, and class three. All contain high efficiency particulate air filters, also known as HEPA filters, and are used to support different specialized applications. The class two type A2 biological safety cabinet is the most used model in biomedical research applications. You will see in a tool that there are four types of class two biosafety cabinet. Those four types are A1, A2, B1, and B2. The tool contains information and distinctive feature of each of these types of biological safety cabinets. Biosafety cabinets should be selected based on the risk identified for the hazardous materials and the processes to be performed. Please note that biosafety cabinets are different from chemical fume exhaust hood, but are sometimes mistakenly used interchangeably. It is critically important to use these engineering controls for their intended purpose. The table in this educational tool lists the primary distinctions between these commonly used engineering controls. Please note that this educational tool also provides recommendation for safe, start, and shutdown procedures of the biological safety cabinet, as well as some consideration for use of ultraviolet light for decontamination of the interior surfaces of the biosafety cabinet. These are also developed following applicable regulations and guidelines, and can also, those applicable regulation and guidelines can also be found as part of this educational tool. Mainly, we focus on biosafety in microbiological and biomedical laboratories, sixth edition, or document known as BIMBLE, as well as on National Sanitation Foundation International, as well as a couple other recommendations that were provided in the document. The following tool number four, is ORD guidance that's developed for waste segregation and disposal. Purpose of this tool is to promote awareness and compliance with policies and procedures on regulated waste among VA staff working in biomedical and clinical research laboratories. This educational tool is intended to support initial and refresher training of VHA laboratory and support staff on the characterization, segregation, processing, storage, transport, and disposal of regulated waste. This is intended to serve as a training supplement for VHA staff and to be included in a research facility laboratory safety manual. There are different types of waste generated in research and or diagnostic laboratory. The most common waste categories include hazardous waste, or known as HAZ waste, which is waste that is considered ignitable, corrosive, reactive, or toxic. We also have medical waste, which is all waste that contains biological components that might be infectious or harmful to human health as defined by the OSHA Bloodborne Pathogen Standard. Furthermore, often we find radioactive waste, which examples include dry radioactive lab waste and contaminated equipment, liquid waste, fluid waste, and different other types of radiological waste. We also have general waste and recyclables that are comprised of solid waste, and those do not meet the above descriptions. Sometimes we have some other waste that does not meet the above descriptions, and we recommend that you contact your safety office or waste contract representative to properly classify unique waste. What is really important to remember for this particular tool is that the properly identified, segregated, labeled, and packaged waste is very, very important. You should do that for all your waste. Remember that medical waste is typically regulated by a state entity charged with enforcement of statutory requirements related to the environment or public health. It is important to review your state and local waste regulations and contact the respective authority or authorities in your state prior to implementing procedures for disposing of medical waste. Similar to the other tools we developed, we also followed applicable regulations and guidelines, which can be found under the applicable regulation and guidelines section of this particular tool. In tool number five, ORD guidance on biological sign, biosafety level sign development, we looked at the usage of biosafety level signage on laboratory facilities. The purpose of this educational tool is to provide guidance on the appropriate signage to be posted at the entrance of biosafety level 1 through 3 research laboratories. This educational tool is intended to provide guidance to VHA staff, such as principal investigators, laboratory managers, biosafety officers, and similar, on the appropriate biosafety-related signage to be included at the entrance of research laboratories. This is also intended to serve as an aid in use of the laboratory biosafety sign templates. Biological hazards are present in various sources throughout the laboratory environment, such as blood or bodily fluids, different culture specimens, body tissues or cadavers, carcasses, different laboratory animals, and other clinical specimens. The universal biological hazard symbol or biohazard symbol used to signify the actual or potential presence of a biohazard and to identify equipment, containers, rooms, materials, or combination thereof, which contain and or are used for storage of biohazardous materials. Minor differences might exist between the various reference documents. However, it is generally accepted that a sign incorporating the universal biohazard symbol is to be posted at the entrance to a laboratory where infectious materials are present. Furthermore, the information to be included on the laboratory door sign should consist of the following: laboratory biosafety level, so biosafety level 1, 2, or 3, supervisors and or other responsible personnel's names and telephone numbers in case of an emergency, requirement for personal protective equipment, any specific occupational health requirements such as immunization, respiratory protection, and similar, agent information, and this is in accordance with the local policy or practice, as well as date when the sign was generated and printed. In support of the Veterans Health Administration, Office of Research and Development, Biosafety and Biosecurity Program efforts to strengthen biosafety and biosecurity practices in the VA Research Laboratory Network, a laboratory biosafety biohazard sign template was developed to support the implementation of consistent laboratory biohazard signage standard within the research laboratory. This is a fillable PowerPoint template that will allow individual laboratories to include the required information that are identified in a template. Once completed, the sign can be printed and laminated to be posted on the laboratory entrance door. Once again, we used applicable regulation and guidelines in developing of this, these templates. Some of those applicable regulations and guidelines can be found under applicable regulation and guidelines section of this particular tool. Switching to tool number 6, which is the ORD guidance for laboratory biological risk assessment and a template that accompanies this. The purpose of this specific educational tool is to provide a framework for conducting a laboratory risk assessment, complementing the process that researchers already use to answer scientific questions. This educational tool is intended to serve as a template that researchers, biosafety officer, and IBC, as well as SRS committee members, can use to systematically identify and control hazards to reduce risk of injuries and incidents. A comprehensive risk assessment should be conducted prior to conducting a new research protocol or authorizing a new research protocol. The risk assessment process involves rating the risk of the activities that are associated with the protocol from low to potentially unacceptable risk. Consult with your PI or supervisor, as well as environment health and safety, if your risk rating is high or unacceptable, to redesign the protocol and/or implement additional controls to reduce those risks. This exercise will contribute to improving the culture of safety by demonstrating a good faith effort to provide a safe work environment as required under OSHA. This risk assessment tool contains 4 separate phases that will guide you through the risk assessment process, from identifying hazards, defining, assessing, and prioritizing risks, to identifying appropriate mitigation measures and controls that need to be put in place, and subsequently evaluating efficacy of the mitigation measures or controls that have been selected. Take time to walk through this many times as you go through a process of risk assessment. Please also keep in mind that different people perceive risk differently, which is why it is always recommended that risk assessment is done as a team effort in order to be able to designate risk as low or acceptable or high and unacceptable, and develop those mitigation strategies that need to be put in place. Last but not least, I will be talking about the tool number 7, which is ORD Guidance on Institutional Biosafety Committee Meeting Minutes Template. The purpose of this educational tool is to provide guidance to VHA internal institutional biosafety committees that can use this to increase consistency and compliance with development of meeting minutes and accurate records keeping in order to comply with the applicable NIH guidelines. Some key points here will include that these meeting minutes are intended to serve as a record of the IBC's proceedings. They are also there to document that the IBC has fulfilled its review and oversight responsibilities. Institutions should prepare IBC meeting minutes that not only serve the institution's need for a record of the IBC's proceeding, but that also document the NIH and that also document for NIH and the public that the IBC is fulfilling the performance expectations of the NIH guidelines. Minutes should offer sufficient detail in order to capture major points of discussion, the committee's rationale for a particular decision, and to document the actions taken by the IBC to support biosafety and biosecurity best practices. These minutes do not need to be transcripts or kept at a level of detail that attributes each remark to a specific individual. These are not optional. This is required under NIH guidelines for research involving recombinant or synthetic nucleic acid molecules. Unfortunately, NIH does not provide much guidelines on minutes, which is why this particular tool was developed in order to facilitate this process and provide some consistency among different IBCs within VHA. Thank you very much.